What are you afraid of? The dark or the spotlight? How do you feel when you think there are eyes on you? How do you feel when you think there are tens or even hundreds of eyes on you? If you're human, you should feel like running away. You are all eyes on me right now, and my inner caveman response says, flee. Because back in the caveman days, if there were a bunch of eyes watching me, I was about to be dinner. And my biological response says, run, get out of there. I'm gonna put all of this stuff in your body that's gonna make all the blood go to your legs. I'm gonna make your heartbeat faster, and I'm gonna get you out of here so you survive. Sadly, we haven't evolved that much from our caveman days. And that instinct to run when we see a bunch of eyes watching us is still very much innate. It's the sense of fear. People call it the fear of public speaking. I call it the fear of people watching you with all their eyes. It's my inner caveman response. It's biological, and so I'm a scientist, and I've decided that I want to try and use science to overcome what is this innate fear. And this innate fear comes from what's called a sympathetic nervous system. You may know it as your fight or flight response. Now, don't be worried, I'm not going to fight any of you right now. I'm definitely a flight person. But it's there as my inner caveman wants to run. It's there as my inner caveman builds up adrenaline in its system. It makes me sweat. It makes my heart race. It makes my digestive system do really strange things. It makes me pretty much panic. And yet I'm still here. Now, as much as I wanted to run when I saw how many people were in this audience, I decided to stay. Because I'm gonna use science against biology. I'm gonna understand where that fear comes from and try and outsmart it. So how do I feel right now? Well, my cheeks are blushed. I know that I can feel them. They're really, really hot. If I could put the mic to my heart, you would think I was a rabbit, okay? It is going so fast. My palms are disgustingly sweaty. I'm terrified that I'm gonna drop this slide changer. I definitely feel like I'm about to have a breakdown, and I definitely wanna run away. This is how I feel right now. I've chosen to stay here because I figured you all spent an hour of your time to come here, so thank you very much. I'm still here, but I'm battling this biological response that makes me want to run away, that makes me want to go sit somewhere quiet, away from all these stressful hormones that are inside my body right now. This is probably one of my worst nightmares, public speaking. I reckon I've given, I don't know, this year, 30, 40 public talks. So the thing about nightmares, so I've heard this theory that if you have a nightmare, what you have to do to make sure it doesn't happen again is say it out loud. Tell somebody the story of your nightmare, and it doesn't happen again. So this is my story of my nightmare. I have a fear of public speaking. I'm hoping that if I keep saying this, eventually it won't wake me up in the middle of the night continually, and I'll be able to get some sleep before I give a talk, and I won't feel like this all the time. But it's progress, because the thing is, Andre Agassi didn't grow up being a tennis player. He started by hitting a ball. He probably missed more than he hit. But if you keep doing something, and you keep practicing it, and you keep tweaking your technique, eventually you might make some progress. And that progress might be minute, but if you keep doing that and you keep doing that, who knows where you can end up. So what if those eyes aren't dinner? What if you guys aren't saber-toothed tigers ready to pounce on me and tweet about how terrible this talk is? What instead if you were just cute, hungry kittens who were just lovely and actually just want to be fed by something that I may be able to give you through some horrific story of my own. What if I change the way that I see eyes on me to not be aggressive attackers, but to be cute little kittens? So people say, imagine your audience naked. Don't do that. It's wrong. It's weird, right? But cute, fluffy kittens, we could probably do that. What if you were cute, hungry, fluffy kittens just wanting to be fed a little detail, a little snippet, something that you can take away to empower yourself to get up here? So from now on, I'm just going to refer to you all as the kittens. I hope that's okay. I'm not going to rub any of you. I can't reach you, otherwise I would. But change the perspective of those eyes on me. My inner caveman response says, you must be prey. They're all looking at you. They're ready to attack you. I've chosen to change the way my brain processes that and say, I don't think I am prey. I think actually I'm here with some lovely food and everybody's going to come to the table. That perspective has changed how my heart has started to beat. It started to slow down a little bit. It's not great. My hands are still disgusting, right? I'm not there yet. But I can feel a sense of it's going to be okay. The amount of adrenaline in my system, I can feel it reducing. So I hate to tell you this, but you're not alone. The reason why you're sitting in here is probably either because you are one of the 74%, or because you know somebody who is and you would love to be able to help them. So research that just came out said that 74% of the population are afraid of public speaking. That's most of us, pretty much. Right, the other 25%-ish probably didn't fill out the form or weren't asked. That's what I've decided. I know, and I do a lot of public speaking, I know maybe 0.1% of the population who thrive off this, who are like, I can't wait to get up there and be judged by people. The rest of us are like, oh, I've got to do this talk. It's in front of 1, 10, 100, 1,000 people. And we all have that sense of caveman fear. Now, I'm just going to give you a little bit of warning. This is not a presentation on how to give a public talk. This is not. Been there, done that. It's on YouTube. This is a talk about how to be an introvert and give a public talk. And I felt very strongly about giving this as a separate talk. So James Whitaker and I, this time last year, gave the keynote at Vector Arena for this conference. And I realized that people are different. Because he turned up and he's like, hey, you want to go for a beer, get some chips, get some food? I'm like, are you kidding me? We're about to give a talk. He's like, yeah, I thought we could relax, you know? And I'm like, are you going to eat before your talk? He's like, yeah, and have a few beers, it's going to be good. I'm like, are you crazy? Do you not feel that thing where your stomach has shut down because all the blood has gone to your legs because you want to run? Oh, no. He's like, I'm really excited. I'm excited about what? He's like, about giving a talk. I'm like, it's not your worst nightmare. You're not petrified. He's like, no, let's go get a beer. I'm like, no. So he went and got a beer with Nigel. Now, if you ever go to the Vector Arena, they have these beautiful thick black curtains. They're soundproof curtains. They're hung to the ceiling. And they're there to actually allow you to have different events without the sound going through. I took one of those curtains, and I wrapped myself inside it. And it was pitch black and silent. And I stood there, I reckon, for about 10 minutes. And then I dry-retched into it. So sorry, Vector Arena, but I threw up into your curtain. I dry-retched because I didn't eat the day before because I was so nervous. And I know through experience, don't eat before a talk, Michelle. It's just not pretty. If I had eaten, the curtain would be different colored now. Instead, it just has a little bit of slobber down the front of it. I stood there dry-retching, so nervous, petrified of if I was going to screw it up. James was having a beer. Two people about to give a keynote to the same audience, polar opposite responses. And what I realize is the advice that he gives to people is very different to the advice that I give to people. And actually, introverts and extroverts, we prepare very differently for talks. We respond very differently on stage. And I just wanted to share the introvert's perspective because I don't think we stand up here and talk about it very often. So if you want to know how to rock the stage, which is all about how to make a presentation, what the content should be, storytelling, blah, 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 there's stuff up there. And James and I approach it from the introverts and the extroverts perspective, because he'll say something, I'm like, whatever, do it this way. And what you hear is how you can do the same thing from very different perspectives. And I always suggest to people, if they're going to get a mentor for public speaking, make sure that mentor is somebody who has the similar personality to you. Because if you're going to be coached by an extrovert as an introvert, you're probably going to quit, because you're probably going to be like, I don't think I can do this. And so you need to learn the skills that fit your personality. So this is called public speaking for quiet people. And I'm going to class quiet people as introverts. Now, you may not all be introverts in this room, but you may know an introvert. They're probably at home right now, actually. How do you know if you're an introvert? There are these labels that people put on things, but I'm going to class an introvert as somebody who doesn't speak to strangers. I hate it, man. Why do people do that? I don't speak to strangers. If I'm on a flight, I put my noise-canceling headphones on before I've even boarded. I don't want to know who you are. I don't know you. I'm not into this thing, right? I know a lot of extrovert friends. I hang around with them because I'm fascinated with how they do this, right? They're straight on the plane, like, hey, my name's Bob. I'm like, do you know that person? I'm like, no, but you know. Headphones on. I'm not a team player. I looked growing up at all my sports. None of them, I just don't do teams. I didn't understand at the time. It's because I really like doing things alone. I was a competitive swimmer, for example. You don't need a team to swim, you just swim. I don't play tennis. I don't do football. I'm not a, right? And when people say, hey, do you want to go out to this big party? No. No, I don't. Please stop inviting me, please. Just show me the Twitter feed. I'll be fine. I can sit at home, comfy, in my PJs, with my noise-canceling headphones on, and just watch it. I love Periscope. Periscope is great. Now I can sit at home and pretend I'm at the party because some drunk person is like periscoping everything. Look at this, look at this, look at this. Like. And I can just sit and watch. So this is my natural state. And so people are usually on one spectrum or the other. You can be a bit of both. You can be an ambivert. But usually you respond very differently. So with people, I find people draining. Not old people, just new people. I have very few friends, and they're awesome, and I can hang out with them all day. But you make me hang out in a bigger group or with people I don't know, and I need to go home for a nap. It actually physically drains me. I talk to extroverts, and they're like, we're gonna meet these people, we're gonna do this party, and I got 20 business cards, and it was awesome. And they are buzzing off that. Different responses to the same situation. When I talk to people, I want a one-on-one deep conversation about something amazing. I don't care who lost on The Bachelor last night. I'm not interested in the weather. No, I can see what the weather is. I don't need to talk about it. I like long, deep conversations one-on-one. I found extroverts just talk about anything with anybody as many times as they want. I don't talk to strangers. I just don't. I mean, this job doesn't mean I have to, right? Because what happens is after the talk, people are like, hey, and I'm like, oh. But I've learned, take the selfie, be very nice, then leave. So I'm learning how to do this stranger thing, but it's really draining for me. Extroverts talk anything about anyone all the time. When people ask me a question, what do you think about that, Michelle? I'm like, hold on. Let me write down the question. Let me have a think about it. Maybe I'll go Google some stuff. Let me write a bit more down. Can I get back to you next week? And like, no, what do you think now? Like, oh, that's a bit much. I haven't really had time to process that question. And they're like, do you want sugar in your tea or not? It's too much. Extroverts tend to think by talking. So they get their ideas out, but they're like, well, I think this, and actually I think that, and an immediate response, I call it verbal diarrhea, but whatever, where they're like, yeah, yeah, and I'm like, did you even think about that? The answer is probably not, but that is their thinking. Whereas I'm like, oh, I don't want you to judge me, and actually I want to make sure that my answer is the right answer for me, so I just need to internalize it a bit, and I'll come back to you. What that means is we often don't speak up in meetings, because we're so busy thinking about it that by the time we've got an answer, meeting's over. What does that tell you about who's speaking up in meetings, though? Now, people say to me when they meet me, oh, you don't seem like an introvert. You don't seem very shy. They're not the same thing. I am a little bit shy, but I'm getting better. I think you can train shyness out of your system. What I can't do is change the way that my brain reacts to a stimulus. And it's very biological. Our brains as introverts are made up of different stuff. We have this gray matter in there, and they've dissected a bunch of brains. I love that people can do this in science. We have a thicker prefrontal cortex in our brain, thicker than extroverts. Now, that part of our brain concentrates on deep thought, concentration. It's the reason why most introverts are deep thinkers. If you look at, you know, the type of introverts that are famous, they're the people who are out there silently thinking about stuff, fixing problems, and then they give it to an extrovert who tells the world. We can be really overstimulated. So there's this neurotransmitter in your brain, and it's called dopamine. And dopamine is how you respond to stress. Too much of it makes you really stressful. It gives you all the biological stuff that makes you stressed. We have different levels of tolerance to extroverts for dopamine. Extroverts thrive off it. Dopamine energizes them. It gives them more energy. They want more of it. It's almost addictive. They want more noise, more chaos, more risk, more. We need a little bit of stimulation. We're like, oh, out. And any more than that, we become so overstimulated that it sucks our soul. And we just get really tired because our body is fighting against itself. So we tend to be very overstimulated through dopamine because of our response to caveman stress, fight or flight, people talking to me, people I don't know, strangers asking me a question that I want to respond now. Sorry, I can just hear this. I'm just going to move that. Now you'll notice that I put some references up here. That's what introverts do. Because I want you to not only believe me, but know that I've probably spent 7 months of my life researching this. I didn't just make this slide because I have an opinion. I thought about it, I analyzed it, I researched it, I went back and double-checked. There's a difference. So now I'm going to ask you, what are you afraid of? People come to me for mentoring and coaching. They want to give their first public talk. Usually it's introverts who come to me, and I love mentoring introverts. I love seeing people give their first talk. And I'm like, what are you afraid of? Like, well, what if I screw it up? What if I look stupid? What if somebody asks me a question and I don't know the answer? Yeah, true. All of those might happen. What are you afraid of, though? I have this life motto, which is, if it's not going to kill me, I'm going to say yes, right? I've done some really stupid things in my life because of that. But when people say, do you want to give a public talk here at Sky City Theatre in front of all these people? I go through this process. No, not really. It's kind of a lot of people, a lot of pressure. They're going to tweet stuff. I mean, what they think of me. Might screw it up. Might be awful. And I look at my motto and it says, will it kill you? And I'm like, no, it won't kill me. I have to say yes. Yes, I'll give this talk. So here I am. It's a really good way of getting perspective of what you're afraid of and will it actually be detrimental to you? Are you afraid of something that's real or are you just overreacting to something? You have all been to a terrible talk, right? You've all sat there Facebooking, being like, oh, let me die on the inside. Do you remember who that was? Maybe, maybe not. Do you judge that person now? Probably not. Sort of forgotten. So, yes, you might screw up your first one. That's all right. You probably learned something. People aren't going to hate you. People have probably forgotten about you. People probably weren't listening anyway and they were Facebooking. So what you're afraid of probably isn't a bigger deal as you think it is. So what if you screw it up? So what? What is the worst case that happens if you screw it up? So what if you look stupid? You know you're not stupid. You wouldn't be up there if you were stupid. People don't give you a talk because you're stupid. You're not stupid. You might look it. That's all right. Start again. Do it again. What if you don't know the answer? Oh, I don't know. I'm not a genius. I don't know everything, right? I have Google. It's on my phone. It's easy. I can look it up. I can say, and this is one of the hardest things for me to learn, is actually, I don't know the answer to that. Just bear with me. Does anybody else here? Could anybody help me with that? Sometimes they can. Sometimes like, actually, I don't know, but let me get back to you. You're not expected to be a walking encyclopedia. It's okay not to know the answer. Get over yourself. Nobody's here to see you. You don't care what I wore today, you don't. You don't care the fact that I brushed my hair for the first time this week. You're not interested in any of that. You came here because I think you would like to take something away from this talk that might help you do something positive in your life. What I wear doesn't matter. How I'm perceived doesn't matter. The only time you should be concentrating on my clothing is if I'm so boring that you have nothing else to do with your brain. So if I'm doing my job right, you should be engaged and listening and be like, oh, I can apply that to my life. Oh, that's me. Oh, yeah, I get that. I feel like that. I've puked in a curtain before. Please tell me I wasn't the only one. You're just the vehicle. You are the vehicle to empower people. Now, you have two choices. You can be a 1979 piece of rust that stops all the time, isn't reliable, nobody really knows if you're ever going to get to the end of your journey. You could just be a nice, cool, clean Tesla, right? Just coolly taking people on a journey, environmentally friendly, everybody wants to be there too. So don't stress about you, it's not about you, nobody's here for you, they're here for them. You're all here for you, you don't care about me. I'm all right with that, I quite like that, thanks. And if you are up here, you're probably up here for a reason. Now, I sat at home last night thinking, oh, what if I get it wrong? What if I don't tell them what they want to hear? What if I'm not good enough? I'm sure there's somebody better who's an introvert who can do this talk much better than me. And this is the first time I've given it, so I'm really nervous because maybe the slides are wrong and maybe you're not going to get stuff from it. And maybe I should call Terry and tell him I'm canceling. He already thought I was canceling, so he's been panicking for a whole month that I wasn't coming. What if? Do you know what I did? I turned it all on me. It's not about me. It's about you. And I sat there and I said, am I happy with how I've put my slides together in a way that you can take something away that may be able to help you? You're up here for a reason. Don't let self-doubt stop you being for a reason. If somebody said to you, hey, do you want to give a talk? They didn't do that because they like you. Well, they might have done. They didn't do that because they wanted to make fun of you. They did that because you have something to say that other people want to hear. Value that. Appreciate that. It's really hard to build your self-confidence enough to be like, you're right, I do. But you do. If people are asking you, you really, really do. Don't let that niggly voice inside your head tell you that you don't. There's a bunch of us. Apparently up to 50% of the population are introverts, and we're the ones who just get shit done, right? We're not the ones who are out there being like, hey, look at how great I am, so great. So we're the ones who are in the corner just getting stuff done. We're not asking for praise. We're not being like, hey, look at the shiny thing that I made. We're just making it. We're just doing it. The power of introverts is fascinating, and in this extroverted world, it's really hard sometimes to see where we fit. And extroverts be like, well, why aren't you more like me? Why don't you just talk more? Why don't you put your hand up at the meeting? I'm not. My brain works this way. I take a problem, I solve it. We have some fascinating introverts in the world who are doing amazing things. Elon Musk is a great example. He's taken over the world, but he's not standing out there talking about it until somebody forces him on stage when he has to do a product release. So I'm going to make a very bold statement, and I'm going to stick by it. I think introverts make the best speakers, by far. I'm going to tell you why. I'm going to assume you are now all introverts because you're here. Okay, if you're not, I'm very sorry. Please take this message as an extrovert to an introvert that you know. But I'm going to just label you all as introverts now. It's the tech sector, right? So 50% of the population are introverts. I'm pretty sure 99% of the tech sector are introverts. For all those weird or socially awkward people who hang around at conferences at the networking sessions being like, why do they do this in the tech sector? We're not networkers. Just give me a tweet place I can go. I'll talk to them all remotely. But I think we make the best speakers. We over-prepare like nobody, right? And then we reflect. So we'll write something, and then we'll be like, oh, let me reflect on that. Is that, yeah, hold on, let me write something else. Oh, I'll just reflect, yeah, that's great. No, that's not quite, you know, let me tweak that. That's much better. We love this. This is how we work. This is how we function. We make sure we take time to make this right. I'm going to tell you it's taken me a year to write this talk. The talk you see today is a year in progress. Well, I thought I was ready a year ago, but actually I knew I wasn't, and I just wanted to make sure it was right. So these slides have existed for a year, and I keep taking away, reflecting on them, giving another talk, mentoring somebody else, coming back, changing them, thinking about it, reflecting. This is not something created overnight. This is a year in my thought process. It's quiet. When I'm preparing a talk, I sit by myself with my noise-cancelling headphones and I just write, and it's great. There's no teamwork. There's no working with others, all the things that I don't do very well at. I work on my delivery, I work on my content. It's like, yeah, this is great. This is silent time. I'm recharged by silent time. All of you people who live in those co-shared offices with the music blaring, I'm not there. Why? Why are we making those things? I want to have a non-shared office in a silent place where I can just think and be by myself. My job is about to incorporate co-sharing space, all this open plan stuff, right? I'm just not coming to work anymore. I'm not going to be productive. I know I don't do well when there are other people walking by and be like, hey, Michelle, what you having? I'm like, no, not interested. I work best silence, sitting by myself, thinking. And we make the best talks when we do that because we're really concentrating on the problem. We don't just throw some stuff together. We're too worried about what people might think of us. So we really think out our slides. Each of these graphics, I really went out looking to make sure I could find the one that not only reflected what I wanted to say, but it was also gender neutral and had enough races in it, right? I was like, I've got to make sure this is an I'm thinking about the tiny little details in my slides to make sure that everybody feels welcome, that everybody sees a piece of them in it. We think things through, we take our time. Those are the best slides. How many slides have you been to, right, where some dude has come up and just given you bullet points? He hasn't thought about it. He's cut, copied, pasted, and been like, right, these are the slides I'm just going to read off because I haven't prepared and I need to remember what I want to say today. So I'm going to do that by just churning out a bunch of bullet points and I'm going to read them to you because I'm going to assume that you can't read, obviously. And then you're just going to absorb that information and be emotionally challenged by it. No, you're not. You're going to Facebook. Right, because you can read, and you've probably read it quicker than he said it, and so you're not getting something else from it. We make slides that are beautiful. We make slides that are thoughtful. Those make great presentations. That's why introverts are good speakers. If I showed you how many papers I've read, right, I'm not a neurobiologist. I don't know much about the brain. I've spent a year researching it so I can give this talk. I spent a year looking at dopamine effects on mice studies, rabbit studies, human studies. I spent a year looking at pictures of brain dissections where this gray matter is actually thicker because I didn't believe it, so I wanted to see some of the slides. I've gone and talked to people who are psychologists, psychiatrists. I put a lot of effort into this, but I love that. We love that. We love that attention to detail. We want to make sure that if we are telling somebody something, we actually know what we're talking about. A lot of extroverts I know stand up and talk about pretty much anything and pretend they're the world expert. And then you ask them a question, like, oh yeah, here's my hand, I'm gonna wave it at you for a while. I can promise you if you ask me a question, I may not know the answer, but I would have researched this topic enough that I feel confident I could probably tell you more than I knew a year ago. But it makes us more confident. I'm more confident standing up here, even though I'm nervous, because I know I've done my research, and I know I've done the graphs, and I have little charts in my bedroom at home where I've memorized different neurotransmitters and their effect in extroverts and introverts. And we like that. Like, we're quite dorky at heart. We quite like the charts. We quite like the graphs. We like it when they have a curve or a go up or a positive correlation. It makes us happy, right? Extroverts don't care. We love that attention to detail. We're like, oh, look, there's a trend. I don't have to interact with you. I love this. I hate the water cooler. I just want to get water. Okay? Why is it so hard? Why can I not go to the water cooler and just get water? Hey, Michelle, how are you doing? How's your weekend? It's fine. What did you do? Sat silently away from you. Did you watch The Bachelor last night? Did you see that guy and that girl? No. No, I don't watch tripe television. What are you doing tomorrow? Again, not coming to this water cooler, probably. Yeah. Thing about presentations is I don't have to do any of that with you. I can be in a room full of people and not have to do this small talk. It's great. It's actually one of the best places to be around people because you don't have the water cooler effect. I'm not chatting to you about superficial things. We're having a deep conversation. There's no water cooler. I love that. It's great. It's the best place you can be when you want to be in a crowd, but you don't actually want to talk to anybody. I think one of my biggest fears when people say, what do you think, Michelle? What do you think?
Oh, I don't know. You've only just asked me. Not really sure. I haven't really had time to think about it. Don't, on the spot. Not sure. What if I say something stupid? I just need a bit of,
The thing about talks is I know what I think, because I've had a year to think about it. I've had time to process it. It's all good. The pressure is off. Now, the pressure's on because these lights are in my eyes and I can feel my heart beating faster, but actually the pressure is off for me to have a spontaneous conversation about something I haven't thought about yet. That's good for an introvert. That feels really good. If you sit at a table, you can easily tell the introvert versus the extrovert. The introvert doesn't talk, right? We sit there and we listen and we nod our heads. The extrovert does this. Now, I'm stereotyping, obviously, but we're really good listeners. Really good listeners. What it means is we create a talk that you want to hear, hopefully. And we do that by saying, hey, I'm going to give this talk next week. And I just wondered what you thought about it. And then you listen. And you're like, oh, they want that piece of information, right? I'll make sure there's a slide that has that content or this content. We're actually really good at asking one-on-one questions, listening, and then creating something where we've listened to a broad range of people and make sure that we're talking at the same level to the right people with the right content. So I know it feels weird, right? But I see this as a one-on-one conversation. Because what I do is I talk, and then I stare at one of you who's nodding their head. I don't stare at you non-head nodders. I don't. I'm sorry, right? If I'm looking at you, it's because you're doing this. I feel like you're engaging with me. I feel like it's a one-on-one. So I see you kittens, right, as one entity. And within that, somebody does this. I'm like, yes, feedback. I'm talking to you, you head nodder. Thank you. Appreciate it. I don't see it as I'm talking to you and you and you. I don't do that. That would stress me out too much. It's actually a one-on-one conversation. It's quite lovely. That's how I like to communicate with people. And I am looking for the head nods. It really does give positive feedback. If you're in an audience and you know that your person up there is nervous, just do this. It's so reassuring because it means you're talking back to them. I'm not going to tell you how much I suck at teamwork, right? I suck at teamwork. But the thing about being up here is I don't have to share anything with anybody and I don't have to work with anybody. There's no handing off the mic. There's no, oh, let's present as a group. No, that sucks. No, it's just me. It's a great place to be because I'm not a teamwork person and this is a really fun place to be. How many times as an introvert have you gone into a meeting and had something to say? Didn't get to say it. And you didn't get to say it either because other people were talking and you couldn't get your word in edgeways or because you're just not an outside speaker. I'm not the hand up person. I'm not like, excuse me, can I just make my point over all you loud people? I just don't say stuff, actually. And what I do later is I follow up in an email. I'm like, oh, it was a great meeting. I thought this, this, and this, right? But actually everybody's left that meeting now and they're worried about the next meeting. Public speaking, as terrifying as it seems, is that time where you actually get to say something without people talking over you, without the pressure of being in a room full of people trying to talk over you. You don't have to put your hand up. You just get to speak at the table. We don't do that very often. We're actually not very good at that. This is it. This is the platform. All those things you've ever wanted to say you never did. This is your space. So if you can get over that caveman fear, now you have a voice. And I'm slightly biased, but I'm pretty sure your voice is more important than the other ones. Because I'm pretty sure that you've thought about this a lot. And so what you have to say is really important. The thing I hate the most is this, right? You see a nervous speaker. And you can tell they're nervous, and it might have been their first talk, it might have been their 50th talk. And they come in, and they're like, oh, right, give me a talk. I'm really nervous. I just bear with me. I'm really nervous. This is my first talk. Are you confident in them? No, right, you've switched off immediately. What they did was make it all about them. Look at me, oh,
This is really hard for me.
You're like, hold on, sucker. I gave up an hour of my life to be here. I don't care about you. Get on with it. You're now not confident in what they have to say because they don't look confident. You're now wondering if you should have actually gone to the different session that's happening in parallel that you were sort of weighing up against. If you're not confident when you walk onto that stage, your audience has lost confidence in what you have to say. You can be nervous, it's totally fine. Don't tell people, they don't want to know. That's not the first thing that should come out of your mouth. Because what you've done is made everybody else nervous. And if everybody else is nervous, nobody's really listening. And if they are listening, they're not remembering it other than feeling a little bit awkward for you and a little bit uncomfortable that they're in the wrong session. I get it, we're all nervous, okay? 75% of us have a fear of this. Caveman response is gonna kick in no matter what. Yes, you're gonna sweat. Yes, your palms are gonna be disgusting. But imagine if you started strong. Imagine if you stood here and you're like, oh, this is awful. Heart's racing, might forget my words. And you come in and you're just like, here it is. I'm here. I know you need to take something. Let me give it to you. You have confidence now in that speaker. They're still having the same reflex, right? There'll be times when I don't hold things and my hands are shaking so much, I might drop it with the sweaty palms. It's never good. But all I did was change my attitude and made it not about me as a speaker, but about you as the audience. So I have a trick, and it's know your first line. I mean, know it. I mean, when you get up here and you see, there's nothing worse than that, right? This is not normal life. I don't sit in normal life and be like, hey, there's a microphone in my face. This is a stress response. This is like a saber-toothed tiger looking at me. Know your first line. If you know nothing else, know your first line. Now, I'm obsessive compulsive about it because I know that when I sort of get to this point, when I'm coming to the stage, my mind is blank. All of that prep I've done, nothing. Empty, nothing in there. But what I have done, and this is my little trick of the trade, is I have memorized my first line. I haven't just memorized it. Like, I've been like an obsessive person and I've recorded it. And I've listened to it probably 700 times over the past 24 hours. I wonder if you can play it, hold on.
What are you afraid of?
No.
Or the spotlight.
Let me try that again.
What are you afraid of? The dark or the spotlight?
When I came onto stage here, I stood there, waited for the lights to go down, and I said, what are you afraid of? The dark or the spotlight? That wasn't chance. I've listened to that hundreds of times, in different places, at different times. I've recorded to it. I played it last night before I went to sleep over and over and over and over again. Wanted to know my first line. The rest I can blag, right? The rest. But if you come out confident and you start strong and you know your first line, everybody's like, yeah, she's got this. I haven't got this, right? I'm still nervous. My heart, I'm still going through the physical motions. But my audience, you guys, my little kittens, are in. You know within sort of the first minute of attending a presentation whether or not you want to leave, whether or not this is a bad idea. Don't let people think that. Know your first line. That's my trick. I record it on my voice, and I listen to it continually. Anybody who saw me in the hallway before saw me with my headphones in. I was probably listening to this. This is everybody's worst fear, but actually is probably the thing that makes the most progress for people. Rehearsing out loud. So I'm going to use science again because I'm all about researching stuff. You can write a script and you can read it and it can say, you can be like, oh, those are my lines, those are my, and actually you wake up the next day and you're like, I can't remember anything I read yesterday. I'm going to teach you something, and that is your brain imprints memory in a different place, in a different way, if you say the word and you move your tongue. So if you just read stuff, it goes into a certain part of your brain that doesn't store very well. If you say something out loud, it actually imprints in a different part of your brain, meaning you're more likely to remember your script if you verbally have said it versus read it. It's true. I read things out loud all the time. I do something worse than that. It's like one of my worst nightmares. What I do is I record myself giving my speech. It's awful. There's nothing worse than recording yourself and then watching it back. But I've learned a lot. I've learned that I used to move my eyebrows like a crazy lady. And actually, people weren't listening to my story, and they're like, what is wrong with her eyebrows? Are they stuck on? It's kind of weird. wonder if they're real. Not listening to my story because my eyebrows are freaking out, right? Because I was like, okay, don't look nervous. Right? I only learned that through watching videos of myself, which was so painful, and turning the sound off. So, it's awful. You will probably make the most progress from doing that. Also, do you look bored? Right? There's a fine line between fearful and boredom. Are you excited? I'm excited to be here. I really appreciate you guys giving up some time today to be here. And I'm really passionate about the story, because I wish people had told me this 10 years ago. I'd have done a lot more talks before. I've been public speaking now for about 2.5 years. I'm still quite new. Wish somebody had said this before. So we're going to do something. Can everybody get their smartphone out, please? I assume you're all tech people who have one. I'm going to help you with your worst nightmare. We're going to open the camera function. And we're going to turn it to selfie mode. And we're going to put it on video. Because if you're going to do your worst nightmare, you might as well do it together where everybody else is experiencing the same terror. Okay. So don't look at anybody else. This is going to be weird for you. Don't worry, it's weird for them too. And actually, they're not listening to you because they're so self-obsessed with themselves. They're worried about how they're looking. They're not worried about you. This is all about you and your bubble right now. I want you to say into the camera while you're recording, facing my fears makes me stronger. I'm going to do it with you guys. Okay? Look, evidence. Put my selfie mode on. You're all here. Let's press record. Facing my fears makes me stronger. Stop. Now play it back. It's awful.
Facing my fears.
It's awful.
Makes me stronger.
It's awful. Let's do it again. Let's do it again.
Facing my fears makes me stronger.
So what you're doing is probably thinking to yourself, oh, I haven't done my hair today. Probably drunk a bit too much last night. Look at the bags under my eyes. You're probably going to focus on the things that make you insecure. Nobody cares. If you show this to you, and I'm not going to make you do it, but later, take somebody you know and show them this video, they're going to be like, facing your fears makes you stronger? That's awesome. What a great take-home message. Nobody cares about your hair. It's about the message. So sometimes we obsess about things that we do because we're obsessed about ourselves. It's not about that. This, thank you for all doing it with me, is awful. It's awful. It's probably the most powerful thing you can do. And then turn the sound off and watch your face. So without any noise, watch what your face does. Do your eyebrows look really weird? Do you dart your eyes a lot like a crazy person, right? Those are the things that can put off an audience. And then just learn to just tone those back when you're speaking. This is probably the most powerful thing that's changed the way I give public talks, is recording myself and then watching it back. I was good at recording myself and not watching it. Right, I have a bunch of YouTube videos that I've never watched because I still can't watch myself on video. I'm on TV every week, do you know that? Every Monday, Paul Henry Show. I still can't watch those things back. So we all have that innate fear, but this was probably the biggest tip that really helped me develop my confidence. Because actually, people don't care about what you say, they care about how you made them feel. Hopefully, I made you feel a little bit scared then when you realize you're going to have to record yourself into something. And then you're like, oh, I'm really doing this. I feel like a bit of a... And then afterwards, you're like, huh, I just did that. I did that. I could do that again. I get it now. It wasn't as scary as I thought. Why? Because everybody else was doing it with me. Why? Because Michelle was vulnerable enough to do it with me and put hers up there, and she hated it as much as I did. It's about making people feel that actually you guys aren't the only one. You may not have thrown up in a vector arena curtain, but you've probably thought about it. You may see somebody who's on TV every single week and be like, oh, she's got it sus. No, I don't. I really don't. I have a bunch of tricks, bunch of secrets. One of them is this. I'm not an eye contact person. It just freaks me out. I can't do it. So do you know what I do when I'm talking to you? I'm looking at your ear. It's my secret. When people are like, yeah, I'm like, yeah, I'm not looking at you, I'm looking at your ear. Because your ear is less intimidating to me than your eyes. So when people say give eye contact to somebody, just know you can make it ear contact. They don't notice. It's a two-way conversation, so look like you're talking to them and look like you're looking at them, but their ear is just fine. You'll notice now when I talk to you, I'm not talking to you, I'm talking to your ear. It's a secret that I found that introverts do very well. We're not good at eye contact, but we're really good at ear contact. You're probably all here because you're an introvert. Don't forget the other introverts in the room. I've been very adamant about making sure my Twitter handle is on the bottom of every single slide. Not for my own ego, but because I know there's a bunch of people who have a bunch of questions who won't be able to put their hand up at the end of this and ask me. This is me saying, here I am, don't worry, have a think about it. Take your time, reflect. Later on, this is how you get a hold of me. Totally open to that. I see lots of people give talks and then accept questions and then leave. And all the introverts are like, oh, I wish I had a question. All the noisy people had their hand up. Don't forget that there are people like you out there who also want to do the same thing but the other way. So I do this through Twitter. It's actually my handle for anything, so you can contact me with that handle for pretty much any social media or email. But make sure you don't forget the people like you who are also being empowered by you. So it's still a two-way conversation, even if that's not one-on-one. And I should say with that, if you have any questions, I may read some out loud if you're tweeting them to me live, but that's how I have conversations with people too. If you have a question, I will have my phone with me and be able to ask that without you having to put your hand up. So how are we gonna deal with these strategies? All right, my caveman instinct is on. My hands are still disgustingly sweaty. My heart is still faster than it should be. My face is less red. Why? Because I made a clothing choice today knowing that this was going to happen. Didn't wear sleeves. I knew I'd get too hot. Okay? It's not summer. I probably should have a coat on. I didn't because I know up here, under the spotlight, it's too warm. I dressed for my response that I knew was going to happen. My heartbeat is a little bit fast. It's quite fast. And so if you saw me beforehand, you would have seen me with headphones in my ears. And I had headphones in my ears because I was listening to music. I do this every time before I go up on stage. And I listen to something that makes me think of Fiji. I may be stressed, but backstage, I was lying on a beach with the warm sun.
Happiness.
And I was in a really happy place.
This.
There's You're nowhere worse to be than backstage when I can see a camera to see how many people are out here.
There's a
but I have this.
Time
can you feel your heartbeat
space.
Just reduce a little bit?
We
can you see the ocean? That's my trick. I know it's going to happen, so right before I come on here, you'll see me with my headphones on and I'm just chilling out. So that I go from chilled to stressed, as opposed to stressed to crazy. I don't really hold things. This is a good thing. It's got a gripper on the back. I don't hold glasses. I don't. My hands are sweaty, right? Don't hold things that you might drop or break. Put them down. There's a table here for a reason. Breathing. I've learned that breathing's helpful. I didn't breathe for a while. I didn't realize that I had stopped breathing. When you don't breathe, you speak so quickly that actually nobody understands you anyway. So now I take breaths. They're weird breaths. Sometimes you're like, is she all right? And they're physical breaths. I've learned a lot about how to breathe well, how to breathe through my nose. Before, when I'm listening to my Fiji music, I'm breathing very differently. And I didn't eat today. That's my wise food choice mode. What happens is your body moves all the blood away from your digestive system to your legs, to your heart, to the places where it can run, meaning that if I do eat something, I'm either very nauseous or I do physically throw up, neither of which I think you want to see me do on stage. Not everybody is like this. Everybody has a different response. I know my response and I know how to work it, so before I give a talk, you will never see me eat. After this, like a pig, right? Totally scuff in my face. Other people aren't like that. James Whittaker. Beer, chips, happy as. So learn your body's response and learn how to manage it so it's not the thing you're worried about, because the last thing you wanted is me on here being like, I think I'm going to throw up. I wonder if I can, you've got enough space there? Let me just see if I can. Or is there a bucket here, right? You're too busy worrying about your lines. Don't worry about throwing up. So your digestive system is going to be one of the things that's affected. Learn how to manage it well. And once you've figured out that this is how your caveman response reacts, and actually you can cheat it with science and know how to counter it, you've got nothing to be afraid of. It's okay to leave the party. It's okay. The extroverts will judge you, who cares? This talk will physically drain me. This talk, I will sit down afterwards and be like, oh yeah, I'm done. I think I'm gonna go for a nap. The problem with giving conference talks is there's this thing at the end, which is this big party and the networking, and it was like, ooh. What I wanna do is go somewhere quiet. And actually, that's okay. It's okay to leave the party. It's okay to know that actually you need some downtime after this, because we regenerate through quiet. We don't regenerate through networking. And if you do want to network, it's okay to find the few people you want to network with and go somewhere quiet. There are bars around Sky City. I love this place. Quiet bars. Moe's does great whiskey, right? Quiet, one-on-one, one-on-two. I don't have to be at the party. It's okay to walk away. It's built my confidence. Me being like, actually, I'm not. I'll turn up for 5 minutes, I'll say my highs, and I'm going here. Because actually I need to make sure I have enough energy so I can give another talk one day. Not that it physically drained me so much that I never think I can recover again. Us introverts, we energize by having some downtime. So leave the party, it's fine. So what are you more afraid of? The dark or the spotlight? Hopefully today you're not afraid of the spotlight. Thank you.